You know, God wants to work in the heart of teens, but he also wants to work in our hearts too. And he wants to use teens to make a difference, but he also wants to use all of us. You know, no matter what age we are, God can use us in a way that would impact someone else's eternity, that would impact the lives of those that we come in contact with every day. You know, I think about it, Anwar got the counselor's gift cards and to Street Burger, and we were able to go out last night and you know, eat. That was my first time there. It was pretty good. But often we forget about the waiter that waits our table. And often we can forget about the hostess that hosted us. And often we can forget about that busboy that gives us the water. But those people have souls. And God can use us to make a difference in their eternity. And I want to share with you three thoughts today, simple thoughts. And I'll be quick and I'll be fast, because what I want to do after this is I want everyone in here to take a spiritual gifts test. And so I have them right here. I printed them out. It's maybe 40 questions, simple, very short questions. And it's on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, from number 1 being least likely and number 1 being the most likely. But with that said, let's get right into it. And let's read Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3. It says, Paul saying here, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that you don't have the same job, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I want to share today how you can make a difference. You see, if you're a Christian in here today and you profess the name of Jesus and you say you have a time and place where you trusted him as your Savior, the Bible says that you are saved for a purpose. You see, it says, by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10, it says that, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That God doesn't save us just to save us from our sin. Yes, it's an awesome truth and it's a blessing, and we have the hope of heaven, but God saves us to do a work here. Because I think about it, you know, we talk about the rapture. We talk about going home to be with the Lord Jesus one day when we die. And my question was, when I got saved, it's like, man, if I trusted Christ as my Savior, I want to go to heaven already. You know, why can't I just go? And if there was no purpose for us here on this earth, God would have took us home when we got saved. God would have took us home when we trusted him as our Lord and Savior. You see, but God has given us a purpose, and he has established his church here. And the church is not the building. The word ecclesia means called out ones. And that is us. The church is living. And the church is us. And so often we get caught up that, I'm going to church, but we are the church. This building wouldn't be the church without the people that are sitting in it today. And that's what I want to share with you, how we as a church can make a difference in this world, in our community, in our families. You know, I think about many of the teens coming from broken homes and even just good Christian homes too. But you can make a difference. Fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. You can make a difference. I praise the Lord, and I thank him for that. Because 4 years ago, I think about my life. You know, we all have influence in here. And we may not think about it, but, you know, it's easier to be a bad influence than a good influence. And we see it in the lives of others that, you know, if you hang around the wrong crowd, you see it start to affect people. But the greatest blessing I've seen is that God can allow you to be a good influence. And that's what he did for me. I think about 4 years ago, I was one of the worst influences to my siblings I could ever imagine. My brother shaking his head like, yeah, you're right. You were terrible. And I was. But by the grace of God, I am what I am today, as Paul said. And now I can influence them. And the coolest thing to see was 2 nights ago, up at teen camp, where God can change the course of your family tree. He can change the course of the heritage. There doesn't have to be abuse anymore. There doesn't have to be alcoholism. There doesn't have to be drug addiction. There doesn't have to be wrath and outbursts of anger that lead to sin. And the coolest thing was to see Pastor Sammy, he was a blessing. He preached a message on serving God. And at the end of the message, he asks, is God calling anyone tonight to full-time ministry or to serve him with their lives? And about 2 years ago, I surrendered to preach. But that night, my nephew, who comes from a broken home, he's 10 years old, stood up, and he surrendered to preach. He surrendered to serve God to whatever capacity. And then there was a few others, and then my little brother, Kaniela, went up too and surrendered his life to serve God. And what it did was it made me weep, because I believe I got saved and I got called to preach because of my grandmother's influence, my tutus. And I believe it's because of my prayers for my siblings and my nieces and nephews and my influence in their lives that made a difference. And you think about it, you guys have influence. We all have influence. No matter how big or how small, someone's life is being impacted by ours. Someone is always watching our lives. And we ought to live by example. We ought to live what the Bible says, because so often people don't want to trust Christ as their Savior because they see us and they say, what hypocrites. Jesus was not like that. And we shame the name of Christ and we blaspheme his name through our life because we say we know Jesus. We say we love Jesus. But then by our works, as the Bible says, we deny him. And we ought to get real. We got to understand that people are watching us, and our lives matter, and our lives can make such a great difference for the kingdom of God, and we can, God can use us to do such great things. And if it's your son or daughter living for the Lord Jesus, because you trained them up in the ways of the Lord, and not only did you tell them, but you showed it and you lived it, and they catch on, and they love Jesus and they serve Jesus faithfully for the rest of their life. Man, that's good in my book. I want that. You know, that's my greatest fear of having children. If God would ever allow me to have children, would be that they wouldn't walk in the ways of the Lord. Because I've seen the effects of when I didn't. I see the effects of sin from just the teen camp and seeing all the brokenness. And you look at the root of all of it. It's selfishness. It's pride. Amen. And sin. And what it made me do that I learned up at camp this week was how to hate sin. Because I saw what it did to these innocent teens. I saw what it did to girls who deserve a father. Boys that deserve a father. That deserve a good home. That deserve not to get beaten. That deserve to be loved with a holy love. Not a sinful, sensual love. I thought about it, man. God, if you would use me to make a difference in the lives of one person on this, up on this mountain. But not only one person, but maybe the person I'll go work with tomorrow, or the waiter there at Street Burger. God can use us. He can use us to make a difference. And if it's just in the life of one person, in my book, it's worth it. How about you? I want to share 3 thoughts real quickly, and I want you guys to take the spiritual gifts test. Excuse me. I want want you to notice number one from this from Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3. First of all, the first ingredient to make a difference is humility. Verse number 3 says this, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man which is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. The Bible says here that in order for God to use us in his church, in order to use us and to allow us to use the gifts that he has given us, because once we get saved, the Bible says we are given gifts, and we'll learn about that in a minute. But before God can use us, the Bible says we must be humble. And if you have your Bibles, I would ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5 and James. I love James, but they're right next to each other, next door neighbors, and it's cool how God worked it out that way in the scriptures. James, let's do 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, and then hold your finger there and then turn about maybe two pages over, depending on how big your words are in your Bible, to James chapter number 4 and verse 6. And I'll read 1 Peter chapter 5 first, and say amen when you're there to either one. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. I'll start in verse 5 actually, because it's interesting. This is speaking in the church. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with, what's that word there, church?
Humility.
For God, what does he do? He resisteth the proud. But look at what he does. He giveth grace to the humble. And what does the Bible call us to do? In verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. One of my greatest fears is for God to say, sorry, you can't be used right now. One of my greatest fears is to have God resist me. As it says there, and I think about that, and look at the connotation, it says, for God resisteth who? The proud. And the first step for us to make a difference is we got to be humble. Because God cannot use a proud person. What he does is, I always think about football. You know, I think about a stiff arm. When we're proud and when we're haughty and we're lifted up and we say, I can do this, I can do that. I know my own way, God. I have my own strength. I'll even serve you in my own strength. God says that's pride. Anything with self, I heard. I was reading a book. It's called Calvary Road. It's a great book on revival. Anything to do with self, if you look at it, the root is pride. You know, you think about it, I would even declare that maybe pride is one of the worst sins, because it's the root of all sin. You know, you think about Satan. Why hath, I think it says pride, filled thine heart. But why do people commit adultery? Because they think they deserve better. Why do people steal? Because they want. Why is there, you know, you think about every sin and you look at the root, I bet you it's pride. I deserve this. I want this. I'm better than others. It's all about I. It's all about me. And God cannot use us if we are proud. But look at what it says. It says, but he giveth grace unto the humble. You see, the Bible says, Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and the grace which was given unto me was not in vain, neither labored I in vain. And I'll ask you to turn here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9. Paul here has a thorn in the flesh, and many of you know this verse. But he asked the Lord three times, would you take this thorn in the flesh? And many people don't, you know, we speculate what it was. Maybe it was a physical infirmity. Maybe it was a temptation that he struggled with. But look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. Jesus replies to him after his prayer. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that's in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If we want God to use our lives, we must be clothed with humility, for God opposeth the proud, he resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. God can only give us his grace if we're humble, but look at what God's grace does for us, as it did for Paul. His grace is sufficient, for it is our strength, and it is made perfect. Where? In our strengths? No, in our weakness. Why? That we may boast about our weaknesses, that we may glory in our infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon us, because I believe that we wouldn't get the glory. Because if we do it in our strength, who gets the glory? We do. If we serve in our strength, who gets the glory? We do. Yeah, we might humbly say, praise the Lord, but inside we're just like, yeah, eating it all up. But if we understand, like 2 days ago when I woke up, it was like Jimmy was my co-counselor, if you call it that, in the cabin. And the first 2 days we got up pretty well. I got up early, got to read a little bit and pray before we had a meeting at 7 o'clock before we woke up the campers to see what we were doing for that day. But I think it was actually Friday. Friday morning, woke up, my alarm was at 6, got up to it, don't know what happened. Another one at 6:30, got up to it. I thought I woke up, but I didn't. I guess I was dreaming that I woke up. And then Jimmy, we're laying across from each other, feet facing each other, and he's sitting up on his bed, and he's like, it's 7:10, and our meeting is at 7:30. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I run up there. I didn't even get time to, you know, spend time in the Word or pray or anything. And I'm like, man, I am wiped out. These kids are just killing me. You know, and staying with Uncle Harold and Auntie Billy, I'm getting on the senior schedule where it's like, man, it's 8:30, it's getting late. I got to retire, start yawning, and it's like, you know, these kids stay up till 12:30 and they still got energy. I'm like, man, what's wrong with you guys? But that morning I felt helpless. I felt weak. But you know what? That's exactly where God wants his children. He wants us to a point of vulnerability in the sense that we understand that in and of ourselves dwelleth no good thing, and that we can't do it in and of ourselves. And that day I realized, and I was reminded actually, not realized, I was reminded how much I need Christ, how much I need his strength. But it's only when he puts us in predicaments and places where we're like, there's nowhere else to look but up. And that day after our meeting, I went down, got alone with God for a little bit, and it was only like 4 or 5 minutes. But I just said, God, I need your strength. You know how weak I am right now. You know how I just want to go to bed and rest, and my muscles are sore, and my brain hurts from all these kids, and I can't smell right because, you know, the smells in that cabin, I don't even know. But I tell you what, God gave me the strength. Why? Because his grace is sufficient, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So Christian, don't be afraid to be weak. When you're at your weakest point, it's when God can use you the greatest. And we ought to be clothed with humility that we would be able to make a difference in the lives of others around us, in our families, in our workplaces, and even in our church. Maybe you got to humble yourself today. Because I would rather humble myself than have God humble me. And I would encourage you to humble yourself before God humbles you. Because when God does it, it's way more shameful. And, you know, like, you don't even want to talk about the scores for our camp. I was on the boars and Shiloh was on the goats. And it was like, they beat us by like 300,000 points. So it was nice. It was humbling. I love it. I love when God humbles you because it puts you in your place, as you'd say it. But that's the first ingredient for us to make a difference. God can't use us unless we're clothed with humility. But I want you to notice verse number 4. Look at what it says. It says, For we have many members in one body. And this is speaking of the church. And all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone members of one another. I want you to notice humility. Secondly, harmony. We need harmony. The Bible calls us that we are many members in one body. We are many members in one body. And I remember about 2 years ago when I first came here and Uncle Harold was teaching Sunday school. And I think he was going through unity in the body and how we ought to love one another. But if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I'll tell you what the Bible says, because you guys don't really care what I have to say. No. That's what has the authority. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Amen? Look at verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." And that sounds pretty confusing. But basically what it's saying is we have varying different body parts, like our bodies. We have 2 eyes, we have 10 fingers if we're blessed. Amen? Because not everybody has 10 fingers. Not everybody has 2 hands. Not everybody has 10 toes and 2 feet. Not everybody has 2 eyes. Not everybody has 2 ears. But the Bible says that we as a church are like a body. We're one unit, but we're many different parts. You know, and I think about it with Kaniela, my little brother, and my mom, and then even my sister Bree. It's like it's been like the ankle spraining week. It started from last week, but you know, you think about it, if you sprain your ankle, the whole body suffers, right? If you break a bone, your whole body suffers. And you think about just how our bodies are made and what we're able to go through. We have Zorb balls at camp, and it's like this ball that you can go inside and you can just run as hard as you want and hit somebody. And it was pretty cool. I don't know if we got footage of that. I wonder if we did. But Anwar and I went head-to-head because he took me out earlier, so I was getting vengeance. But you know what was cool about that? It's how we can be so athletic and we can do things and our bodies can be tested to extreme points. But it's all because our bodies are in sync. You know, if this foot wanted to go this way and had its own mind and I was trying to run this way, it wouldn't work so well. And so often in church, that's why we see splits. It's some people of the body want to go this way. And they want to focus more on this and focus more on fellowship. And fellowship is good, but there ought to be outreach. God has called us as a unit, as a body, to reach this world for Christ. He has called us to reach this world with the gospel, and that's what camp was all about. That's what church is all about. It's about coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and once we have experienced that, we tell others about it. And that's our purpose as the body of Christ. I heard this once, that the purpose of the church is 3 E's. It's alliterated. It's to exalt the Lord Jesus. It's to edify believers, and it's to evangelize the lost. And when we do that as a church, and we have one mission, striving together for the faith of the gospel, as the Bible says, when we have harmony, when we're working as one body, God will use us, not only individually in our church to serve and to meet the needs there, but He'll use us as a whole. He'll use us as a church, as a lighthouse, as Pastor Sammy preached, that churches are to be lighthouses. We're to be lighthouses. But it starts with harmony. It starts with unity in the body. Maybe there's somebody in here today that you're not right with. Maybe there's somebody that's a Christian that you got to get right with. Maybe you're trying to go this way and focus on these things. But God has us and says, remember, we ought to be a witness. Church is not just a country club for saints, as I heard it once. It's a hospital for sinners. Amen. And we ought to be about the Master's business. And we ought to be on one mind, and that is the Lord's. And that is focused on His mission, which was to seek and to save that which was lost. And God can use us if we're clothed with humility and we have harmony in the body of the church. And we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's a stretch, but the last one is holy. And in the sense of holy, it's separated. And when God saves you, He separates you, and He separates you to a purpose. As I said in the beginning of the message, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 10, it says, "And we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works." God saved us unto good works. And he has given each and every one of us, if you're saved in here, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior and your Lord, he has given us spiritual gifts. Why? Because just like a thumb has a purpose, or an eye has a purpose, or a foot, you know, your pinky toe, if you didn't have it, I heard you can't balance. That's really weird, that little tiny pinky toe, you know. If you didn't have it, you'd like fall over or something. I don't want to try it, but that's what I heard. But you think about it, every part of our body has a purpose. And it's gifted for a special purpose. And there's people here, and we'll read these last few verses. And let's see where it is. Romans chapter number 12, I think it's verse number 6. Okay, get back there. And we'll finish with this. And I'll give you the spiritual gifts test. And if you would, just in your seat, if you guys have a pen, if you don't, we can get you one. But it's like, it's super quick. And I would love to have it and maybe just turn it into me or Pastor Anwar. And we'd love to get, and I think Pastor told me that you take it in continued discipleship. So if you do know your spiritual gifts, maybe just tell us. But that would help better equip us to put us in areas of service that we could, you know, like I love to help. Like, that's my love language, is helping people. And, you know, I would always, like, and when I was learning this when I started dating, and I would do things for my girlfriend, like I would take people's plates. And why? Because that's how I receive love. When people do things for me, it makes me feel loved. And for you, it may be something else. But I believe God has given me the gift of helps. You know, I love to just come alongside and say, hey, what do we need to do? Let's do it. Let's get it done. You know, if I see somebody in need, it's like, hey, let's go. I'll help you out. But God has given us each gifts. And that's what the test will help us to see it. And when we understand our gift, then we can understand our purpose in the church. And God can, we can be placed in a place where we are be able to use it. You know, it's like having a brand new, whatever your favorite thing you want right now, you know, like a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, and leaving it in its package. It's like, oh yeah, that's, it's pretty, it's nice, you like the wrapper, it's shiny, but then you never use it. And when we get saved, God gives us spiritual gifts, but many of us, we never use them. And so that's the goal of the spiritual gifts test. But look at verse number 6. It says, having then gifts, differing according to the grace which is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And that is speaking of preaching. God has given some people the gift of preaching. God has called some people to the service of full-time ministry. And not only that, but to prophesy means to proclaim. The Greek word is kerusso. That means to herald the truth, to proclaim the truth. And we as Christians, we're all called to proclaim the truth. We're all called to proclaim that Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for your sins so that you could be forgiven. And he was buried, putting away our sins. And he was raised on the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, that we can have the victory. And that is the truth. That is the gospel. And the Bible calls all of us, in a sense, to preach the gospel. But he calls specific people to the office of a preacher, a pastor, a missionary. But look at the next one. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we see the gift of helps in ministry, ministering, and the gift of teaching, and the gift of exhortation like a Barnabas. Maybe you're an encourager today. I don't know. Maybe you're a giver. God has blessed some people that just give. Not only time, not only talents, but also of treasure. You know, there's people that can give. And when it comes to mind, I think of Uncle Harold. I think of Uncle Reno and Auntie Marlo and Auntie Billy. They just give. You know, they've treated me like a spiritual child. And I praise the Lord that I have spiritual parents in the faith. It's like, man, I got like 6 of them now. I got 2 on Oahu, 4 on Kauai. It's like, man, where's the next one going to be? It's like, it's awesome. And I praise the Lord for them. but they have given above and beyond to help me and to help me get where God has me to be. And I'm so truly grateful for them. And but maybe God has given you the gift of giving. Or he that ruleth. I'll tell you what, I'm not a good administrator. That's not my spiritual gift, but and he that ruleth is speaking of an administrator. You know, I think of the president of my Bible college, Paul Chappell. He is an excellent administrator. You know, and there are those in here today who are great administrators. You know, they can just make a plan and execute a plan. I think of Uncle Harold. He's a great administrator. And that's his gift, I believe. But what are you today? If you don't know your spiritual gift, I would want you to take the test. And look at the last one. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There are mercy givers. You know, there are those. And you think about it. If you're at Polyhale camping and in the middle of the night and there's a baby screaming for about 2 hours, there's only so much mercy you can give until you're like, Anwar, your baby.
I know, Mike. It's from my ear.
Man, that was funny. That was the last time I'm going camping with Anwar. No, it was. But, you know, God gives those mercy that we can deal with things that other people would just lose their temper, just get all in the flesh. You know, and there are those in here in this room that you can take it and you can give mercy. You know, I think of Pastor. He's like a gentle giant. I believe one of his gifts is mercy. You know, because if you're a prophet, you see something, it's like, that's sin. There's sin in the camp, you know, but if there's mercy, you see them. I think of Auntie Billy, heart of compassion. And I think of Auntie Marlo. She's a prophet right there. She'll tell it like it is. She's, you know. But God has given each and every one of us in this church a gift. And if we use it for the gospel, if we use it for the cause of Christ, God can allow our church to make a difference. And God can use us as a lighthouse, that we would work together as one body, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And wouldn't we want God to use us? Because I want God to use me. I want God to use you guys. And I want God to use us as a whole, that we could make a difference in the lives of even one more teen next year. And see one more soul come to Christ. And see one more person make a decision. See one more person surrender to preach. See one more person freed from the bondage of methamphetamine as this plant, this island's just being consumed with. Seeing one more person restored in their marriage. Seeing a family, as a father and a mother get saved, start to train their kids in the ways of the Lord. God can use us, church, to make a difference on this island, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But it's only if we're willing to be clothed with humility, to strive together in harmony, and to be holy, to use our gifts that God has given us for His glory. Let's do it, church. Let's make a difference. Let's turn this island upside down for Jesus Christ. That we could make a difference. Shall we pray? Father, I'm humbled by the opportunity I get to share your word every morning on Sundays. And I thank you for the privilege. I thank Pastor for you putting it on his heart. And Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the salvation that has brought us all together, that we have unity in one person, and that is you, Christ. From many different walks of life and many different trades and many different personalities, our common bond is you. And Lord, I pray for unity in this church. I pray if there is division, I pray if there is discord, that you would cast it down in your name. I pray, Lord, you would help us if there's pride in our lives, that you'd reveal it, that we would be clothed with humility, that you would give us your grace, which is sufficient, that your strength would be made perfect in our weakness, Lord. And may you help us to be holy, to be set apart as your servants, that we would use the gifts that you have given us for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of you, Christ. May you use our church. May you help us to be a lighthouse in this world to impact one more soul for eternity, Lord. And I'll thank you for all that you do. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.